Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, Israelites. Grace and peace again. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Jehovah Israel, Covenancy Ministries Bible Study Class. And tonight, we are still operating in the spirit of Jubilee because we haven't gotten to the Pentecost. Well, we might as well talk about the Jubilee because that leads to the Pentecost, which is when God delivered mankind from this world. Yes, the true living God delivered mankind from this world. And so that's the whole point of serving God, because you want to be a part of the world He brings. You know, and that's a part of that thing that He also talked about. He's going to restore the captives, and He's going to rebuild the waste places and all these things. And also, these things are going to take place on the Sabbath. So, the God of Israel is going to come through the door, literally telling everybody you got a year off. Because it's the Jubilee and it's the law, so you can't work on the Jubilee. So immediately you're going to get an earth an entire year to heal, recover from itself, from us. Immediately, He's shutting it down for a whole year, and it's called a Sabbath. It's called the Jubilee. If we had been keeping the calendar of God according to the Jubilees, then we will be keeping 2 years. But because we got lost in the Julian calendar, we got lost in a Hellenistic calendar, and now we're in the Gregorian calendar. So He said, no man know the hour or the place. That's because those three dispensations been trying to handle the calendar of God, and they can't because they strangers. The only one that can handle the calendar of God is Israelites. And the Jubilee is the anchor of the calendar of God, because that is a signal of His coming. So if we don't identify the Jubilee, we have no idea about the calendar. If we're not talking about the Jubilee, you have no idea about the calendar, because the Jubilee is the anchor of the feast calendar. God willing, we have time to look into those things, but I think we did already. But anyway, let's get started. Those of us that can, if we can, you know, our brothers and sisters, if we can stand and face Jerusalem, and brothers, if you can uncover your heads and approach the Father, and sisters, if you can cover your heads as we approach the Father, and our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit. And give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them also a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. For your mercy endure forever. Amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Man, the Father is so merciful. Oh, my God. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day today. And let's get into this word. Let's get into this word. What is the Jubilee to? Some of us, you know, these are things that we never heard of. You know, we've been keeping the Sabbath. These are things we haven't heard of. But you have to look at the Jubilee because Jubilee is a conjunction with the Pentecost. It's in conjunction with the Pentecost, but it's in a it started going into a sabbatical thing, you know, like for a year. It started becoming like a year thing, you know. So we're going to get into that. So first we got to get into where we at. We're going to start this in Leviticus chapter 23, because this is where the feast day is at. We're going to read through them. We're going to bring up some things because we already went through the Passover. We're about to be ready to come up on the Feast of Weeks. We're almost there. I mean, 17th for us, right? Leviticus 23 in verse 1. And it says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. He just told us here that these are his feasts, and that's that end of it. We can't pick and choose what we decide to keep. That's why we go into this. He says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings. So now we're dealing with a weekly Sabbath. Okay, it says 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Now, some of us say, well, this Saturday Sabbath is man-made because it got lost in time because of the Hellenistic Empire, the Julian Empire, the Gregorian Empire had goofed the calendars up. Well, all I know is that the end of the week is the seventh day, and it says Saturday. So I'm holding on that because that's all I got to stand on. Praise God. If that's what he said that he had the Sabbath day, then he taught us that if we are never polluted. All praises to the Most High God for that, right? Right. Amen. Anyway, 6 days' work shall be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, which is just happened to be the Sabbath Saturday. That's the seventh day of the week. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings, but man changed it to Sunday. It is what it is. These are the feasts of the Lord. See, these are not the feasts of men. These are the feasts of the Lord. That's why he told you on the Sabbath day, that's his. Even holy convocations, you shall proclaim them in their season. So you can only have a holy day on the Sabbath day. If you decide to have a first day of the week, you can't call it the Sabbath. Unless it's the Pentecost. That's it. Right. And the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And the first day ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Oh, this is the week of unleavened bread, people. So, you got three holy days that you can't work. That's the first. That's the first and the last night, and then you got the wave offering, which is what we're about to read. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. And then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. So this represents here the first, this is Jesus right here. He's the wave offering. He was the one that said, touch me not, for I'm not ascending over my Father. That's him. This is him. He's sanctifying the Melchizedek priesthood by being accepted by Melchizedek, which is the Father. Remember, he's the priest of the Most High God of the Melchizedek priesthood. He's of the Melchizedek priesthood, which means that that's the Father's name, Melchizedek. So he has to be accepted for us, or those of us that may have an opportunity of becoming kings and priests. What do you mean? He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. That's those that's going to come up in the first resurrection. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Why? Because the first Sunday during the week of unleavened bread, the first Sunday after the Passover is a wave offering. I don't care if the Passover is Friday night. Sundown Saturday night is wave offering. That's it. The wave offering supersedes the 15th day. Trumpet. Tear it down. Why? Because Christ is resurrected. Christ is on the earth. He's about to be accepted for us. So it trumped the 15th day. All day. But we don't talk about the wave offering. This is why we get the feast days wrong. Because we are not acknowledging the wave offering. So now we got different dates in the wave offering. But he said, keep this feast, right? He said, on the morrow you shall, on 12, and you shall offer it that day when ye wave the sheaves of the heat of an he lamb without blemish of the first year of the burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deer of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savior. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, and the fourth part of a hen, and you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the self same day ye have brought an offering unto your God. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Wait a minute, you got to do this forever? Where's the wave offering at in our camps, man? You don't hear people even talk about this. You see a line up the feast days, this one is never in there. It's never mentioned. But it is in the feast week. You see that? He said, you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the self-same day you have brought an offering unto the Lord your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And you shall count from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Now, here comes the Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. This represents the first resurrection of the righteous, right? The wave offering is Christ. Now, he's accepted. If he's not accepted, this ain't taking place. So the wave offering has to be accepted. This is the Melchizedek priesthood being established. We're going to revisit this conversation physically. Right now, we're dealing with it through the law, how he wrote it to us, how it's going to take place. He said, you shall count from you tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even until the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, they'll be here on this. This is the 50th day. This is the Feast of Weeks, right? And he said, you got to bring a new meat offering, right? Because we just went through the unleavened. And the wave offering is in the midst of the unleavened. Why? Because Christ is the unleavened bread from heaven. Whoa. Now, 17, it says this. ye shall bring out of your habitation two weighed loaves, two tenth deals of fine flour that shall be baking with leavening. They are the first fruits on the Lord. Why? Because this represents the righteous coming out the ground. This is human beings. What do you mean? Leavening represents sin. And the law said there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. So we cannot break the law. Every prophet, every princess, every servant of God has sinned against God. That's where the leavening came from. The only one that didn't sin against God was Jesus Christ. He's the unleavened. He's the unleavened bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. See, this is the first fruit here, but it has to be made with leavening. That's a little sin, not a whole lot. You don't get to be first fruits with a whole lot of leavening. That ain't how this works. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Well, verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, leavening a whole lump. See, there it is. Purge out therefore the old leavening, that ye may be a new lump, even as Christ, even ye are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Why? Because Christ is the unleavened bread from heaven. People want to sit up here and say, well, the first day of unleavened bread is the 15th day, but the first day you take unleavened bread is on the Passover. Just think about that. You're a witness to yourself. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Right, because you can't eat any leavening after you take the Passover. Period. Listen, he said, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, and even with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, that's that thing. We said with leavening, but he said not with malice and wickedness. That's the difference. You can't be coming up to the Lord talking about, oh, well, you know, you said it was going to be a little leavening in the sacrifice, but he said not wickedness. No, I didn't say that. No, I did not say malice is in this picture. No. You will not add that into this here, to this leavened cake that I call the Feast of Weeks that I'm bringing to the feast. You ain't adding wickedness and malice, see? So we got to do what? Keep our sins at a minimum. Therefore, purge out the old leavening. Right? There's none to do of good and sin of God. That's why he had that leavening there for the first resurrection. This is that thing. Let's go back to Leviticus. Well, hey, since we're here, let's go into 1 Corinthians 15. And let's pick it up at 3. It says, for I deliver unto you first of all that I also received how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Somewhere people got that there's a law that says in Leviticus chapter 23 that we're supposed to have 3 days and three nights. I haven't read it. I haven't read it in Deuteronomy. I haven't read it in Exodus. I haven't read it in Numbers. Exodus, that's Exodus, yeah. Am I missing the book? Okay, well, no, I haven't read it in none of those books. So I don't know where that's coming from. Anyway, it said, and he was seen of Caiaphas in the 12. Well, we're dealing with this part here. This is the part we want to get to. This is the wave offering. He said, verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Why? Because there's a time for the first resurrection. That's the first fruits. That's going to take place on the Pentecost. The wave offering was Jesus Christ, who was born out of due time. He's the very first fruit. He had to be accepted for us. That's the wave offering. That's the forgotten feast along with the Pentecost. Anyway, the wave offering ignites the Pentecost, as we see here, that it kicks off the resurrection. Now let's go back into the law. Okay. Right, 11, 23 and 11, he said, well, no, let's read the higher. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, you shall bring the sheaf for the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. That's the father, that's Melchizedek. The first fruit would be Jesus Christ, one that is born out of the time, which is the wave offering. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, the Father, to be accepted for you. That's what he said, touch me not, if I'm about to be accepted of the Father for you. Now go tell my brother. On tomorrow, after the Sabbath, shall the priest wave it. What do you mean? Go to John, right? Because all these are one act, right? John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early when it was yet dark. So she's there. This is the wave offering. This is the first Sunday during the week of unleavened bread after the Passover, which is this is the wave offering here. It says, when it was yet dark, that's why I said the first day of the week. And he sees the stone taken away. We're not interested in all of that right now. We're interested in this conversation right here that he had with Mary. Watch this. He said, Jesus said unto her, Mary, now 20 and 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my father. Go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my father and to your father and to my God unto you and unto your God. That's the wave offering. This is what he said. He would be accepted on the first day after the Sabbath, right? This is why you got to keep this, because this is this conversation. Watch this, verse 19. The same day being at evening, being the first day of the week, see, and with a wave offering again, it's telling you in two places, pay attention to this feast. Without this, you don't have the Pentecost. You know, so how are we going to deny a wave offering? You can't even have a conversation of the feast of the week. That's why people be off. But get this. Now, remember that Jubilee is the anchor of all of this here, this conversation. Watch this. The same day, being at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled. For fear the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, unto them, peace be unto you. See? There it is. So he appeared on a wave offering and ate with the disciples because it's a feast day. He said, give me a piece of this. Exactly. Let's go back into the law. Leviticus 23 and 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. That's 7 weeks, people. Even on the morrow after the Sabbath, 7 shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord your God. That's that first day of the week that we read in St. John. That's when you start number 50 from there. Because remember now, the Feast of Weeks happened right after that. That's when he said, being the first day of the week. He kept bringing it, reiterating that, because now you got a number 50 days. That's this conversation which takes place here. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, this is that. See, they had, from when he was waved, they had the number 50 days, which brought us to this point right here. Now, here come the Holy Spirit coming down on the whole planet. Look what happened. Because, see, this is what's going to happen when God comes back. The angels of heaven is going to come down on the whole planet, and they're going to come and get the righteous, and they're going to get their thrones at the exact same time. Look at what's going on here. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as is a fire, and it set upon each of them. Now, each of them received a translator of the Chesedic speech to whatever dialect we speak. That's what they're for. They're going to teach us what the Chesedic is saying, but interpreting it in our understanding, which would be so-called English. People say, no, he'll talk to us in Hebrew. No, you don't dream Hebrew, my man and sister. You dream English. And if he talk to you, he said, I'm going to talk to you in your dreams. So if you speak English, he's going to speak to you in the tongue that you was born in, and that's the speech you're going to receive it at. This is the point of the Holy Code. This is your point of your brethren, that he's going to interpret it in the Melchizedek, which is impossible for man to receive, or else their mind to get blown up immediately. I ain't going to say that because Jesus received it, and Adam had the conversation of the Chesedic, which his mind was blown completely. Adam was 100% cerebral. Trust that. Know that. He was appendestrious. He was. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, each sat upon of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, people tend to want to go on to say that this is rhetoric here in 22. No. The angels that he sent are now translating in the other tongues of the men that's there, because they was from all over the world. Watch this. And it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the angels were filled with the Holy Ghost. They got filled with the Spirit of God. This is something that we have to understand, that we have to be filled with too. Not to go into nonsense and run into spouting and running around the church and all that type of stuff. No. But having the power to walk into a hospital and walk out with everybody. That's this conversation. And it says this. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So this is why he said they were filled with other tongues. Why? Because he was about to get ready to speak to all of these Israelites in their tongue. Right, but they're going to translate the scriptures to each and every last one of us, no matter where we are in the world, because the word had to go out before the earth is judged. There was a noise, then this was noise above. Multitude came together and were confounded, because that they heard every man speak in his own language. See, it wasn't no interpretation of the tongues and everybody was tripping out and going into a whole spiel like Talmud. It wasn't none of that. Every man heard the word of God in their own language. Now, that blew everybody's mind, because everybody was speaking their own language. We're back to the Tower of Babel all over again, and he just cleaned it up. Just like that, boom. Instantly, he's going to clean up the Tower of Babel just instantly. And then when he come back, he's going to give us that conversation of Melchizedek, that we will not err against our flesh anymore. And it says, watch this, verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these Galileans? See? I'm not all these misspeak Galileans. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? See, it didn't have anything to go off into this mindless gibberish that we want to, you know, add into the scripture that is not true. What happened here is that he unhinged or undid the Tower of Babel right before our very eyes, and he's showing us how he's going to do it. He's going to give us a brethren that's going to interpret these things for us. Verse 8, and he said, how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we are born. And it says this, Parthian, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, that's Abraham people, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Phanelia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, and Jews, and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. How do we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God? That's what's happening now. you know, we are hearing the wonderful words of God in our own languages from different sources. That's now. This is taking place. And yes, it's amazing. Watch this. And they will automatically, well, of course, because I am at this time. They said, and we were in doubt saying one to another, what mean is this, right? I ain't getting off to the drinking and all that type of stuff because everybody would justify that nonsense. But no, he says this, pay attention to this conversation. It says in 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, right? This is just before the Jubilee, but he's talking about, because that's they're there on the Jubilee. They're there. They're there on the Pentecost. The Pentecost comes with the Jubilee, which just so happened to fall in the atonement. But this is what he's telling them, that the end of the world starts today. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaiden, I will pour out in those days of my spirit that they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the world of the Lord come. See, here comes God. That great and notable day, which just so happened to be the Pentecost, is what they celebrate. That's what he's telling them. He's coming back here on today, on a Jubilee. He was bringing both conversations, man. We are listening because he was dropping it. Listen to what he said. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself know, he being delivered by determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands crucified and slain. And this he said, whom God has raised up, and lose the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. See? He's the first fruits. And he's telling them that the wave offering right there, he went all the way back to the wave offering. Of course he did, because it kissed off the Pentecost. Now let's go into Leviticus, right? Let's go look at that. Let's go back to Leviticus 23. And we left off at, I think it was 17. You shall offer the bread with blemish without, you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish in of the first year and a young bullock, two rams, they shall be of a burnt offering unto the Lord with a meat offering, and their drink offering, and an offering made by fire for a sweet savior unto the Lord. And 19, then shall you sacrifice one kid of the goat for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice, a peace offering. And a priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord of two lambs, and they should be holy to the Lord for priests. Devil, the first fruits right here. What do you mean? The first fruit. They should be holy unto the Lord for priests right here. And it says this in Revelation chapter, let's go Revelation chapter 1, right? 1 and 6, it says this. It has made us, 1 and 6, it says, it has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, the part of Melchizedek priesthood. Unto God, Melchizedek, unto the Father, Chesedek. He says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There it is. Let's look at this a little clearer. Let's go to 5 and 9. It says this, Revelations 5 and 9. It says, and a song, a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. See, there it is. There go that conversation. Again, that's the first fruit. He said, and made us unto our God kings and priests. That's why he said to be accepted for you on the model. Now, here it is. Now, this group got way before the Father and was accepted too. This is the Pentecost right here. This has to take place on a wave offering for the Pentecost to even take place of the first resurrection, which takes place here. Watch this. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, in verse 1, it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, there shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Now the land is going to keep a Sabbath. 6 years shall thy self live. I'm already ready to read this. Leviticus 25:3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and the 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, gather the fruit thereof, and the 7th year shall be a Sabbath unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. So he said, that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord. Wait a minute, you're going to get a whole year of rest? Not just a weekly, so you only throw away the Sabbath day to miss out on this. Oh, you can have that. I'm trying to get back to that. I want that. I want that so bad. I want that. I want a year off. I want a year off from God. Every 6 years you get a year off, right? And so now watch. Now, remember now, the Pentecost fell on the Sabbath after the Sabbath. Remember that you had the number 7 Sabbaths, and then the Sabbath day come in, then the following day after that is the Pentecost. So you're going to have back-to-back Sabbaths. Guess what that means? You're going to have 2 years back-to-back off. Ooh, that comes from God right here. Watch this. And he says this, and that which groweth of his own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, for thy handmaid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy strangers that sojourn with thee, with thy cattle, for the beasts that are in the land, and for the increase of meat. Oh, he said the beasts of the field going to get a whole year off. All they get to do is eat everything that they've been working on. They get to just smash it out and then just drop cow nonsense everywhere and refertilize the land. And then you put when the land, after 2 years, man, the land is going to be all ready to be gold for next 6 years. They get another year off. Who cannot want that, right? Verse 8, 25 and 8, Leviticus 25 and 8, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. Here comes 7 Sabbaths of years. Remember now we number 7 Sabbaths of days in Leviticus 23. Well, now he's telling us to number 7 Sabbaths of years. Why? He said, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years in the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee, 49 years. Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound in all your land. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the Pentecost, the Jubilee, all lines up with the day of atonement and the memorial blowing of the trumpet? He says, sound the 7th trump on the day of atonement. When will this take place? Sound the trumpet of Jubilee on a day of, when do this take place? Wait a minute. Go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. And when he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels were still before God, and to deal with giving 7 trumpets. There it is. So now we see 7 trumpets. And so we're not going to go through all the trumpets that's being blown. We want to get to that one that said the Jubilee get kicked off on, right? So from 1 through 7, let's just go where 7 is being sounded off. Revelation 11:15, it says this. The seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, that's the end of the world right there. He said, take it. That's a it. That's a wrap. He said, the seven angels sounded. That's it. And he said, for the 24 angels, the 24 elders, which sat before God on their feet, fell on their face up and worshiped God, saying, we gave thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and which was and art to come, because thou hast taken thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nation was angry, and our wrath is come, see, and the time of the dead that they shall be judged, that they should give them a reward to the servants of prophets, first fruits, and to the saints, first fruits, and to them that fear that name, small and great, first fruits, and they shall destroy, and thou and shall destroy them which has destroyed the earth. This is all the Jubilee. This is the Pentecost. That's what Peter said. He with vapors of smoke he's coming, but he was talking about here at the Jubilee. He was going to do this on this day on the atonement. Look, and he says that the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his ark of testament, there was lightning and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. Look. This is going down. Leviticus. Yeah, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 25. Right? Because he did say this. He said, and blow the trumpet on the atonement. All right? And he said, Leviticus 25. And verse 8, and it says, thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, in the space of seven Sabbaths of years, and it shall be unto thee 49 years, and cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, and the day of atonement. You shall make your trumpet sound throughout all your land. Why? Because on the day of atonement, you're supposed to be doing this. Leviticus 23 and verse 36. No, that's these tabernacles. You're supposed to be doing this on the atonement. Leviticus 23 and 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement and holy convocation for you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in the same day, for it is an atonement day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Whatsoever soul that it shall be that shall be not afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Why? Because you're supposed to be fasting, afflicting yourself, and this, that, and the other. So God see you here, pass over your sins if he sees fit. So this is why you fasted, right? Because on the day of atonement, here he come, man. If you ain't, he going to get you, man. If you ain't fasted, and you don't know. And then, too, you better know what day you better fast on, because, see, that's another thing. That's why the Pentecost and this Jubilee is the anchor of the feast. Why? Because you know exactly when is the Day of Atonement according to the physical calendar of the month of Abib. You can't go wrong. Because if you use the calendar of the Jubilee, you can't go wrong from Abib. It's impossible. The numbers will never leave you wrong, because numbers will never lie. If we stay in line with this calendar, we got to stay with this calendar. We can't use the Gregorian calendar to justify this calendar. We have to use this calendar, or else you don't get to the Jubilee, because those calendars, the Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar, and the Hellenistic calendar, is not consistent with this. It'll never match. You see, anyway, it says this. He said, you shall do no matter work. So you're supposed to be still, right? You shall do no matter work, for it's a statute forever throughout your generation. There it is, too. It is a Sabbath rest. Of course, you ain't supposed to be working. You shall afflict your soul from the ninth day of the month at Eden from Eden and celebrate your Sabbath. There it is. Okay, so now let's look at people. Let's look at this coming because he's talking about blow the trumpet, right? Blow the seventh trumpet. So here it is, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And it says this, 24:3. And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came on the horizon saying, tell us, what shall these days be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Well, he went and took them all the way to the Jubilee. But get this, he showed us how he was going to do it. Watch this. Skip down. Not interested in everything that he's talking about here. But watch this. He says this. Read into 15. It says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso read it, let him understand. Now, we may get back to that. Just remember this conversation. Then was he being Judea, fleeing to the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And warn them that are with child to them to get stuck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So it's going to go down. It's just simple as that. It's going to go down. Seriously, go down. And then it says this, watch this in 29. Immediately after tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. So here comes the Jubilee. This is actually coming in. It's the sundown. It's coming in. It's the Day of Atonement. It's coming in. It's sun. It's evening. It's coming in. He said, and the sun shall be darkened and more. This is the real atonement. This is the real evening. This is real. No light, right? You better be fasting. You better be on it. You better be sacrificing everything you got because this is going to be this hour. And he said, the stars of heaven shall be, the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. No better place right now is to be fasting on a day like this. No better place. So God even set it up that you will be fasting at a time like this. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man coming in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now they got caught with gristles in their mouth. They got caught with flesh in their teeth. Here we go. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, plural. Remember that we read in Revelation, there was seven of them, right? With the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds and from the end of the heaven, even unto the other sea. There they go. So they blew the trumpet. So this is the seventh trump. They're blown. Here comes God. And then he tells them, now you learn the parable of the figs when the branches get tender and that the leaves put forth his leaves and know that the summer is nigh. He's not talking about you're not going to know the seasons because the seasons aren't going to change. That's law. He's talking about you when you see these things take place, you better know that your God is going to get ready to split these heavens open. It's going to go down, right? And you better know what day the atonement on. You better not be talking about, well, see, you got to keep the new moon, and then you got to, man, you better go somewhere with that. That ain't going to count here. It is not going to count. You better know where the days is. Why? Because you're going to put the sun and the moon out. So you better know where you at. So likewise, you shall see all these things, and you shall know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day, an hour knoweth no man. Why? Because we still operate under the Julian calendar, the Hellenistic, the Greek, right, calendar, which is built up under the great Alexander, right, the Babylonian calendar. There's still all that mix in there. Yeah, we really don't know exactly what year it is, but it's rough calculations. We're still in the 1900s, to me. We're still in the 1900s. Not the 20s, because if we were in the 20s, we'd be here. We're in the 19s somewhere. Anyway, no, you wasn't born in 1900. You was born, yeah, literally, those of us that are plus 7, yeah, you were born in the 18.
Yeah.
Literally. We're in the 1900s right now. The calendar now, the physical, his calendar is 19. Now watch this. But of that day and that hour, no man knoweth, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, that shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch this. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until that day Noah entered into the ark. That is, see, for be fasted, people could be eating and drinking. That's why he said blow the trumpet on the atonement, because that's exactly what's going to be going down. People are going to be eating and drinking. He's going to catch you with that flesh in your mouth. And watch this. He says this also in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, he said this. Isaiah 66 and 15 concerning this day, which is that great and notable day. Watch this. Isaiah 66 and 15, it says this, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render anger with his fury and rebuke of flames of fire. That's what Peter was talking about. It's going to be vapors of smoke. For by fire, by his sword, will the Lord flee with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. See, there it is. This is the atonement. This is the jubilee. Right here, this is the end of time, the end of this world, and the beginning of here. So this is how the end of man world is going to come. The slain of men is going to be alive. He's going to kill a lot of men, people. He's going to kill a lot of men, period. For by fire, by his sword, will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst. So you know people are going to be marrying where you at in the garden, in the garden, and the flowers and all that. In the midst, eating swine, especially, you know, and in the wind, they got the big pig, and they offer that nonsense, and the abomination. You got the soups and the shrimps and all of that all spread out with the lobsters and the mouse. Well, you ain't got a rat laid out there, but you're eating all them other rats, you might as well pour that out there. You never know, it might be kind of crunchy. Shall be consumed together, says the Lord. See, I'm going to kill them too. I'm going to kill them too. I'm going to take them off this world. I'm going to take them in their wickedness with swine flesh in their teeth, with the abominations of shrimps and lobsters all in their feet. I'm going to destroy all of you. Only atonement. And you won't have nothing to say because you should have been fasting. Even if you was fasting, he might have had mercy on you because he would have caused his madness in your face if you were still eating it. But because you didn't know it and this is in your mouth, you done it. You done yourself in. You're a witness to yourself. He said, I know their works and their thoughts, and they shall come, and I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come to see my glory. Whoa, look at this. He said, now remember, he said, learn the parable, right? Learn the parable of the figs. Learn the parable of the figs. Watch this, Isaiah 34 and 1. Come near, ye nations, and to hear. Hearken, ye people, and let the earth hear, and all that are therein, the world and all that things that come forth of it. I want everybody, every isle, every island, every continent, I want all of you people, light, brown, green, yellow, purple, all of you people, I want you to hear this. Pay attention, because they ain't got nothing to do with your flesh, because it got everything to do with your sins about what I'm going to run into you in. So keep your sins at a minimum. Keep them at a minimum, because if I catch you in them, you're going to be done. This is this conversation. This is the warning from God. This is what you're getting from your watch. And he said, this is what you're getting from your watch. It says this, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury is upon all the army, and he has utterly destroyed them. See, it, the armies of this world, the U.S. enterprise, they're going to have a chance. Not one. No, it's not going to happen. No, none of that. The Russians, forget about it. Nope. He's going to wipe that nonsense off the planet with his own work. Water. Really? It says, for the any nation is upon all their nations, and the fears are on the armies. Why? Because, man, it's going to go to war with God. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. For their slain shall be cast out, and the things shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be mellowed with their blood. And all hope of heaven shall be dissolved, and shall fall down as a leaf falls from the vine, as a falling fig from the fig tree. See, there goes that parable right here. He was talking about this. Isaiah chapter 34. This is the parable. He said, you better go and learn that. Hey, I'm coming. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then when I do it, I'm going to shut down the sun and the moon, and everybody's going to know it's the Sabbath and it's the atonement, and they should have kept it. And it says this, and the sword of the Lord shall be filled with blood, and it shall be 5:34-5. It says, my sword shall be bathed in heaven. So, it's going to be on fire. It's coming on fire. Behold, it shall come down upon Adumea, the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and of goats and the blood of kidneys around, the Lord has a sacrifice and bows right in a great slot in the land of Adumea. Why? The unicorn has came down with them, and the bullock and with the bulls, and the land shall be soaked with blood, and the dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Repayment. What do you mean? Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. And let's pick it up here. Verse 9, then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th trump of the 7th month. In the day of atonement, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. See, there it is. He's setting the captives free. Everybody going home. If you Germany, you go back to Germany. If you Israel, you go back to Israel. If you Asian, you going back to wherever you are today. You know, because you got a lot of Asian people in that area, man. You got Philippines, you got Maya, you got Malaysians and Japanese, Chinese, you got Cambodians. You got a lot of people of Asia. Everybody's going home, man. And those are the islands, so he's going to call the water to overwash them islands, man, and then he's going to wash them down. Those that are left, woo, you're going to solely worship God. A jubilee that of the 50th year shall be unto you, not the soul, neither reed that groweth of itself, neither gathering grapes shall the vine undress, but it is a jubilee, a holy unto you, you shall eat the increase of our land. Why? Because there won't be nobody else to gather. All you're going to be doing is gathering all the riches of the world. Because you're going to kill everybody. So what's left? Whatever they left. Exactly. Right. Right. You're going to gather their riches. Like, gather them out of Egypt. And he, you know, when you're dead, what are you going to do with a gold ring or even the gold in your mouth? All that's coming out. You're going to get them too. Got them gold grips. You're going to get them. That's going in the melting pot. And it ain't going to be good when you get them too, Jack. Whatever it takes to get them, we're going to get them. Anyway, it says this. It says, every man shall return to his family. What is he talking about? Well, right here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. What? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound. That's on the Jubilee. This is here. So this is God coming back. Who is this? Who is this talking here? You see, this is that thing. Who is having this conversation? Look, let's go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke 4, let's pick it up at verse 16. He came to Nazareth, right? 4 and 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went in the Sabbath synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found in the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," the Jubilee. See? "And he closed the book and gave it unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were innocent in God was fastened on him." See? Now, he didn't go on because everybody here knew that you talking about here, you just went to Leviticus chapter 5. You just quoted that out, you know, outright. Right? So now let's go back and finish reading this Isaiah chapter 61. Look what he didn't read, right? Look what he said he's going to do. He said, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to come for all the moon." What day of vengeance? When he said he's going to destroy the planet and the mountains are going to be soaked with blood. "To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and joy to mourning, and garments of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. And they shall build the old way places, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations." So now all the cities are being recovered. The kingdom is being recovered. Look at that. You're not working anymore. You don't work for nobody. Everybody's free. Everybody's free. You don't work for nobody. Everybody's free. So everybody's free. Everybody's been delivered. You don't have to work for no one anymore. That's done away with. There's no such thing as slavery, no such thing. And if you was in prison and God seemed fit, you got away. He saw fit to set you free. It's just that something. And that would be from God. There we go. Okay. So now he's talking about building the waste places, right? But he destroyed them. Why? Because he came back and he did what? He shook the world. Let's go to Revelation. This is why he had to build them up. Revelation chapter 16. And I'm picking up at the seventh trump. Yeah, and it says here, "And the seventh angel poured out his bow into the air, and there came a voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there was voices and thundering and lightning and great earthquakes such as was not since were upon the earth, so mighty and so great an earthquake, so and so great. The great city fell and divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give to her the cup of the wine in the fullness of his wrath. Every island fled away, they were Asia, and the mountains were not found. Yet there fell upon men hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and man blasphemed God because of the great hail, and the plague thereof was exceeding great." So it said the weight of a talent. A talent is 100 pounds. And this is hell, he's raining on the earth, man. So, he's actually literally bursting. He's dropping 100-pound weight on people
from heaven on fire, right? This is what he's doing. And then he said this. He said, and the seven angels, this is what he poured into the plant. I mean, this is on the seventh trump, right? This is what he said he's going to do. Joel, this reading, he says, Joel chapter 3, for behold, in those days and in that time shall I bring again the captivity of Jerusalem and Jerusalem, and I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. See, there it is. I'm going to in that day. What do you mean that day? The day of Jubilee, the day of the atonement. He's going to set the captives free there. This day, this is what he was talking about. This is what Peter quoted. And this is the whole point of him quoting this, because he was talking about this hour. He wasn't saying it was going to be easy. Hold up. Let me go back to that Isaiah, because he said that earth is going to, it's going to be the slain of the Lord. It's going to be from one end of the earth to the other. How so? Let me see. I think there's 24. And it says this, yes. And it says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. See, the people is going to be all over the place. And he's going to make the earth empty. You see, so this is that thing. That's why he said, you better learn about this day. You better learn about God, because he's going to do the earth in. And that's what it is. And that's exactly the way he's talking about doing it. And we're so busy shaking our fingers and doing the jigs and doing the most and acting like there's no consequences for actions, that they want to blame God because, oh, you want to judge me for my actions. But, yeah, that comes with free will, man. When you ask God for free will, because he could have made you an android, he could have made you a flunky and you just followed him around, you know, unconditionally. No. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the option to choose. And that's called free will. Now, what comes with free will is judgment. And that's what people don't want to hear. They want the free will without the judgment. Unfortunately, when you start dealing with free will, that means you have to understand judgment. You have to know what's right from wrong. That's right. Once again, you're a witness to yourself. Isaiah 24:1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. It shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so as with the master, as with the mason. No respect of person. The Lord is going to go from one end of the earth. He's killing people. It don't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody's going to get it. Everybody. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. It don't matter if you're a priest. Look, I'm getting you too. As with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, and with the buyer, so with the seller, so with the lender, with the borrower, so a usurer, a giver, a usurer, to him the land shall be utterly empty, utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken it, and the earth mourneth and fadeth away, and the world languisheth and fadeth away, and the whole people of the earth do languish, and the earth is also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. See, there was that law. But see, the law still in effect. That's why he told us on the Jubilee, that's the one the trumpet is going to sound, it's going to go down. The law is still in effect. They changed the law. That's why you got the, we all point. Right? We are law to ourselves. We're witness to ourselves right now. Because we did that. Look, the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed law, changed the ordinances, broken everlasting covenants. Therefore have the curse devoured the earth. They that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men are left. That's what he's going to do. There's going to be a few people left. See? The meek is going to inherit the earth. That's all to it.
The Lord said, the plan of the Lord is going to be from one end of the earth to the other. How are we not paying attention to the wave offers and the wave offer kicked that off? How are we not paying attention to the Jubilee and the Jubilee kicked that off? What are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? I think we're playing church. I really do. I think we're playing church. I think people is playing church. And when the day and the hour comes, they're going to confess that they've been playing church. And they think that's going to save them. But no, what's going to save you now is that you confess it now. Play with God. Maybe it changes us, right? Maybe it forgives us. Who knows, right? All we know is that he will, he can. He said his arm ain't too short that he can't deliver. Our thing is, are we going to let him? Amen? So, let's go into Isaiah 13. In verse 9, it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel with both wrath and anger, and to lay land desolate, he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. The stars and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the going forth, and the moon shall not cause the light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay law to haughtiness and the terrible. And I will make men more precious to the fine gold, even the men of a golden wedge of fair. And I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his anger. See? He's not playing. It's the day of his anger. Watch this. He said, and it shall come to, and as the chase roll, the sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every man into his own land. See, everybody get to go back. Jubilee. Everybody's going back. Every man that is found shall be thrust through. Everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword, and the children also shall be dashed into pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be spoiled and the wives ravaged. See? Lord, any respected person? They're wicked, they're wicked. They get a wicked man's reward. This is why you teach your wife and children how to obey God. Because you know that this can be their end. You know. So this is that thing.
So let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, it says this. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. Still talking about that day. The day of Jubilee. The atonement. Thy force shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations together to Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity. And the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations which he have fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. Come God. His feet is actually going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Right? His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east of the Mount of Olives, shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach on Azal. Yea, you shall flee like he fled from before the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Oh my God. The Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. So here come God and the saints, right? The seven trumpet blown. He said the reward of all our servants, right? So here they come. And that day shall, and it shall come to pass in that day, that that day shall not be dark, shall not be clear nor dark. This is the day of atonement. This is the day of Jubilee. He's bringing immortality here. The sun and the moon is out. Right. It shall be day, it shall be known one day that it shall be not, it's the, let me read this 7. It shall be known one day which shall be known to the Lord. Not day nor night. It shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Right. And it shall be in that day, living water shall go out of Jerusalem toward the former sea and half toward the hidden sea. And the summers and the winter shall be. So the fish is going to repopulate. The whales are going to repopulate. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. And his name one. And this is verse 12. It said, and this is the place where which the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in the holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. Well, he still won't come with fire and by a sword. So what happened with flesh when they run into fire? No. That's an immediate blast. He's just blowing the flesh off your body. Clean that your skeleton is still standing there. Against itself. Right? He just unhinged you from your flesh, from your skeleton. Right? Instantly. It shall come to pass in that day. No, let's skip down. Okay. Verse 16. It said, it's a kind of path that everyone that is left of the nation, because there's not going to be a whole bunch of people left. Those that's left, he said, which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, a Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of tabernacles. Well, guess what come after the atonement? The tabernacles. What do you mean? Let's go into Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. I think we left off at the atonement. So, he said, in the Sabbath of rest, you shall afflict your soul on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening to celebrate your Sabbath. So this is why I said you blow the trumpet on the atonement. Because if you fast, then I'll have mercy on you. It's a chance that I would. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the children of Israel, on the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for the 7 days. See? That's why he was talking about Zechariah 14 is the Jubilee when God comes back. This is that thing. How do the Jubilee numbers line up with the prophetic calendar? Well, we know that Jubilee is 50, right? Or Pentecost is 50, so let's add that up. Okay. Get your calculators open. Right? And so let's go to Revelation chapter. Revelation chapter 11, right? Pick it up in verse 2. But the core which is with is without the temple, without measure not. It's given to the Gentiles, and it shall tread under for 42 months. And I will give power to my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,234 days, clothed in sackcloth. Okay. So 42 divided by 1260 equals 1260 divided by 42 equals 30.
Oh, really now? So a month of God is 30. So I would say 30 times 42 equals 1260.
Oh, okay.
So how about this? 1260 divided by 3.5, which is 3.5 years. 360. So a year to God is 360 days. Well, let's count this by 50 because this is 1 year. So 360 times 50 equals 18,000 days. So that's 50. That's a half a year, right? So let's divide 360. Right? Let's divide 360 by 2. 180. Wow. So a jubilee is a half of a whole, which is 18,000 days. Let's do it again. Let me see. How did I do that? Let's see, 50 goes into a century. How many times? D divided into 100. Twice. So let's look at this. 360. Okay, that's what I was at. 360 times 100. 36,000, or if I get rid of two zeros, 360. I came right back around full circle, right? So two jubilees are in a century, right? Okay, so how many jubilees are in a millennium, right? So we'll say E divided by 1,000. I should say 1,000 divided by 50. 20. It's 20 jubilees in a millennium. You see? So now we got 20 jubilees. So, all right, so let's say from let there be light to Adam is 6,000 years, right? So how many is that? 6,000 divided by 20. 20 divided by 6,000. 6,000 divided by 50. Ugh. Okay. 120 jubilees are in 6,000 years. Get rid of the zero, because the zero is nothing, that brings us to 12. So that brings us back to the law. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and it says this. 32:8. It says, when the Most High divided the nations and set their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the 12 of the children of Israel. And there it is right there. The Jubilee is built on the children of Israel. There's your first 12. Now, Adam's given 6 days to work, right? So that's another 6,000. So we are, say, 12,000. How many Jubilees go into 12,000? Get rid of the zeros, 44. That brings us right here, Proverbs 4, in verse 18. The path of the just is as the sign of light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. There it is. 44 hours is the perfect day. Can't go wrong. See how the Lord testifies itself. Perfect day. The Jubilee, you come back and you set it all straight. If you fast and you good, you got a chance. You got a chance. But if not, you get caught with flesh in your mouth, especially the unclean, chance you may not make it.
Well, anyway, I'm going to hold this here and thank everybody for their time. And look, brothers and sisters, we got to be more conscious of our calendars, man, and pay more attention to the things that belong to God versus what somebody's telling you. Research it, know what you're doing. And then when they go to question, you got your situation there, right? Hey, man, so with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. As you say, here at the Sound of Living Waters, read your Bibles. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.